Like every time I want to say something on a lighter vein before I start, if you want to time me, you're going to time me after that. And then we go into God's Word. So there was this girl who always, at Mother's Day, she often looked at her mother's hair. You know, girls growing up, they love, you know, to look at hair. And she would always look at her mom's hair and comment about her mom's hair. And as she got older every year, she would notice changes. And one, when she close to 10 years old, she found that she found her mom's hair started to, there are a few white hairs that she noticed from a normally black, all the black hair that her mom had. And for this Mother's Day when she turned 10, she found that her mom had a few white hairs. So she was very curious, so she asked her mom, "Mom, I can see some white hairs, and why is that?" So the mother replied, she said, "This is the best time for me to, you know, give some instruction to my daughter." She said, "Every time you were rude to me, or your brother was rude to me, or your sister was rude to me, or if you were disobedient, or if your dad was rude to me, or if he was not listening, every time you all did that, one black hair turned white." So the daughter was really sad about that, but she paused for a minute, and she said, "Is that the reason why Nana's hair is all white?" Okay. So as the world celebrates Mother's Day today, you know, we as Christians have so much, God's Word has so much to say about mothers today. And at the introduction of this letter, of this sermon, I wanted to tell you something. This introduction might sound like a disclaimer, but I said, let me give this introduction. So then the lesson is pretty simple once this introduction is there. So if you bear with me for this introduction, it's not all about me, but I just wanted to say I have enjoyed a lovely relationship with my grandmother, my mother, with my sister, with my wife, and my daughter now. And I'm sure that all of you enjoy this relationship. So with that as a backdrop, and also having moved to Australia and having spent time with a lot of people outside the church, when I used to travel to the city back in Melbourne and travel on the trains and pick up conversations, as you know, I can do that. I understand that sometimes people are not fortunate to have a single mother. Sometimes, unfortunately, you know, because of death or whatever reason, sometimes people have more than one mother, and sometimes it's so challenging for that mother to be the mother to their children, so we're sensitive about that. There might have been people here, even in the congregation, who've lost their mother. And although it's a day of celebration for some of us, and it's a celebration for the mother to look back and reflect on her family and the type of things she's done, it can be a day of grieving for some who've lost their mother. Or it can be a grieving day for a woman who's actually spent all her time and energy and put her faith in God, and finally one of her children or all the children have really left the church and left the faith, and they feel that the world and the world system is more important to them now. And so it could be a day of grieving, and so we are very sensitive to that this morning. We don't want to single out or point fingers at anyone, but we are here as one in the body of Christ. So if there's joy, we feel it together. If it's sorrow and grieving, we feel it together. And I pray, if not anything else, that this message today will be a comfort to everyone. Can everybody hear me clearly, even at the back? Okay. One of the things I want to start off with saying is, a few weeks ago, I went to drop Caitlin off to the youth meeting, and she said they were watching this Avengers. And Christian, my son, is into this Avengers, and in fact, many of the kids at school are into the Avengers, and so I see them wearing these costumes of Captain America. And so, you know, you've got to show them who's boss. And I said that much before you could see Avengers, I saw it in 1998. Even before I got married, there was a movie called The Avengers, in which starred Sean Connery. For those who are very young and don't know who Sean Connery, he was one of the actors who acted as James Bond. Yeah, he starred in this movie. It was something I seen in India when I was still living in India. And one of the things in that movie that really shocked me at the time, and it became more so apparent to me while I was giving this message, is that they used a man in that movie, and they gave him this nickname, Mother. And the woman in the movie was called Father. And a bunch of us guys went on to that movie, and there was a very caring, very sensitive guy that worked with us. His name was Shwarup. Caroline had the good fortune of meeting him when we got married. He was so caring and loving, and after we watched this movie together, 7-8 of us, I told some of my friends, I said, maybe we should start calling Shwarup Mother. So we started calling Mother, and I can tell you it didn't go down very well. Not only was he upset, but he told me something that really rang home when I was doing this sermon. He said that if you call me mother, motherhood goes far deeper than just being caring and loving. If you call me mother, that's the biggest attack on all the mothers, he told me that. And we laughed it off at that age. We didn't really realize. But the more I looked at it, I was doing the sermon, and the more over the years I watched, there's such a big attack on mothers these days. And not only that, people nowadays feel that just any two people can, you know, form a relationship, and one can be the mother and one can be the father. It's not as simple as that. And we know that was never for God's plan. Again, when I talked about the sensitive and grieving, I also understand there are a lot of couples, maybe even in our midst, in our society, and even in other parts of the world, in our congregations, that are really yearning for this privilege of motherhood. And we can understand the burden of all that. So we put them all together in this category. And I know there are many single people who may not have their own family, but have been able to show those maternal and mother instincts to people who need it. I know there are people who even foster children and try to be that mother. So we're trying to look at this in the whole perspective. Moving on. There is an attack. As I said, that's the bad news. There's an attack on mothers in every way. In fact, there's even attack from mothers by women themselves. By the way in which it's not hard to open a magazine and see that, you know, the type of way that the pressures put on women to conform, to be looking good, to look at this picture-perfect way, to, you know, be healthy and to be one who's indulging in exercises. There's an attack from every end of society. And as we mentioned earlier on, people just feel that any two people can, you know, take on a family now, and anybody can take that role of a mother. But that's not so. So there's been a constant attack, and that's the bad news. But the good news is we know that God is mightier than the attackers. And that's the hope that not only mothers share, but all of us as Christians share. I've taken a few characters from the Old Testament and a few characters from the New Testament to kind of look at what are the challenges they faced as mothers. And again, I want every mother to know here, or every prospective mother, or anybody who's hoping for that, to know that we are not comparing any women with these women of the Old Testament or New Testament. But there are certain things, what God was doing in their lives, that is going to come alive in that. And I pray that will be an encouragement to all of us, not just the mothers, but husbands and brothers and sisters and children, that we will all take a piece of encouragement from this. First of all, we know that it was God's plan. God created Eve in the Garden of Eden. You know the story. We are not going to go back to that. And obviously, when God created the world, He had a plan for the world. When He created woman, He had a plan. And we know that He looked at Adam and found that Adam needed a helper, and He created Eve. And we understand right from the Garden of Eden, even though Adam and Eve sinned, God had this plan that His son was going to come, and He was going to come, and He was going to be born of a woman. And we know we're not getting all Catholic here to understand and really make that the whole emphasis of why Jesus came, because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. And we know that even Jesus' mother didn't usurp Jesus' power. And as we study her character, we can understand that the whole emphasis was on Jesus. But we understand that God had this plan in the beginning. And just because He's fulfilled His plan in Jesus, in Him coming to this world and saving the world, He's not done with the plans that He has for each mother. And that is a page of encouragement that every mother can take, or every prospective mother can take. One of the things that we see right from the beginning of time, even though God promised Abraham that He was going to have, you know, these numerous descendants, even told him to look at the stars and if he could count it, yet his wife was barren. The next generation that came after that, that wife was barren. And was God trying to tease these people, or was God trying to lie through them? No. He was giving them that challenge alongside that promise. And this is something that everyone can take hope from. And as we see all these elements, we want to uncover the story in the Old Testament. One of the Old Testament characters, we see Hannah's story. Now, I'm going to put the notes there. I'm not really going to rely on the notes. We're going to summarize, but it's going to be up there for you to have a look. And depending on time, we'll see if we can go through everything. The first thing that we see, that there was nothing really significant about this woman. She just shows up in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1 and 2. They doesn't really talk about how affluent she is, or how important she was. But we understand she was one of two wives of somebody who went out. And it appears that this person was somebody who feared God. He went out to sacrifice. And we understand that Hannah was one who couldn't conceive. I don't know whether it was known to Hannah or not that the Lord had actually closed her womb. I don't know whether it was known to the other wife that that was really happening, but we understand from this story that Hannah was often teased and grieved by this other woman because she had sons and daughters. And even the very sacrifice that the husband was offering, it seemed to have something to do with children because he had to give them a portion, and then he gave Hannah a double portion because he loved her. And Hannah felt this need of having a child, this need of being a mother. And really, the scripture doesn't really tell us so much about what she was going through, but it appears she had such deep anguish, not only that she was ridiculed and poked by the other wife, because she had children, she had offspring, and she had the privilege of motherhood, but there was a deep yearning. And we see that Hannah had a dream that she wanted to have this child. And this is an encouragement to all mothers that if you have a dream, do not let anyone extinguish that dream. Because the husband tells her that, am I not, you know, more to you than 10 sons? He loved her more than the other wife. But still, that was not enough for Hannah. She wanted this privilege of being a mother. And not only that, she wanted to go one step beyond that. She not only wanted to be a mother and have a child, she wanted to dedicate the child to God's work. And sometimes we pray, yes, we do have faith in God and we pray, but we look at Hannah, who was so relentless in her praying, to a point that she was mistaken that she was drunk when she was at the temple there. And Eli thought she was drunk with the amount of emotion that she went through to pray and ask God for her. Not only God to give her a child, but she was able to fulfill to God when he gave her this child. And we see Hannah's persistence so much that finally God answers her prayer. And as I mentioned earlier, we don't know whether really Hannah knew that the Lord had closed her womb. And we don't know really whether the husband knew that. But irrespective of all that, Hannah went to God and she was relentless about this. And you can see that not only did Hannah have the son, when she dedicated the son, she kept her word to what she made with God. And God blessed her not only with Samuel, because she had sacrificed Samuel to God's work. He blessed her with more children after that. And this is the encouragement for anyone who has the hope in that. Now we can go about looking at it this way. You know, this was the Old Testament character. God had a plan. Samuel was going to be a judge, so it may not happen to us. Well, we serve the same God. He's as powerful as how he was that time. So if anyone has a hope that this is what they want from God, we encourage you to keep on with this hope. We know that God's sovereign will is above all that. We don't arm twist God. He's not one big credit card that we ask him for what. Because there were certain exceptions that God has shown us in his word. David prayed for his firstborn, but God still took his life. We understand that God has a sovereign reason. But because of that sovereign reason, let us not put limits on God and what he can do. And for those who've already conceived and everything is going well, we encourage you to continue with that. And for those who've conceived a child, put in all the time and effort, taught them, brought them to church, and today they've fallen away, we encourage you, mothers, not to give up, because God will continue to work and you can continue to go with him in prayer and saying that, Lord, you've blessed me with this child. It's your will that nobody should go to destruction, that everyone should be saved. Why don't we go back with God with his promises that he made? And we understand that God has a sovereign will over everything. And in spite of all that, each human being has been given that right to choose between right and wrong. And for mothers who feel disheartened, we want to encourage them that, you know, Adam and Eve shared this relationship with God. They were in the Garden of Eden where there was no sin. There was nobody else to tempt. But we understand because of that free will, they made a choice. So we ask mothers not to beat themselves up if something went wrong. At the same time, we want mothers to be encouraged while they've done everything wrong to keep on the keeping on. There's one more character we look at. This really, we are moving on not to talk, but we understand how Samuel's life was, how he anointed kings and how exactly he worked as being a judge, how important he worked through the nation of Israel. And it all started from Hannah's prayer and Hannah not giving up on God and not giving up on the dream that she had. So this should be an encouragement to every woman here. We see another mother that we'll look at very briefly in the book of Kings, 2 Kings. This was a widow. Her husband served God all, it looked like pretty much all his life. And here she had 2 sons, and the sons were going to be taken off because she had a debt. And she goes to Elisha. And Elisha tells her something that, you know, it looks very superficial when you look at it. But actually, the only thing that she had was a little oil. And Elisha asks her, you know, to pour that oil out into vessels. And it was a matter of trust. And this is an encouragement to all women that sometimes you've got to give the most important thing you have, or the only thing you have, to allow God to work. So if it's the only child you have, it's the only hope you have, it may be a thing that God is asking you to trust Him. And when you trust Him with that, God is willing to come forward and do things. And again, we don't deny that God is so sovereign over everything. But because God is sovereign, it doesn't stop us from going to the Almighty God, to the all-powerful God, and asking Him to do something. These are not fables in the Old Testament or the New Testament. This is something that really happened. And as God came alive for them, let us keep that hope up that God can come alive for us. Okay, moving on, we've taken, it's no, rocket science to think that if we talk about a New Testament character, we're going to talk about Timothy's mother. We understand that, sometimes when you look at Bible characters, we feel that they had it all too easy. They had the prophets around them. Some of them heard the voice of God, Sarah was perhaps somewhere in the presence of God that God even knew that she laughed. And sometimes we can feel that today we don't have that. So how are we going to work with God? How is God going to work with us? And that's why particularly I've taken this, character in the New Testament. We find that Timothy's mother had every challenge that a mother would face today. And we find that Timothy's mother was raised with godliness. And Paul is so emphatically pointing out the faith that Timothy's grandmother had and Timothy's mother had. And now that faith is coming alive in Timothy as well. And for mothers who feel disheartened or discouraged, let them be encouraged by this, that the mother can make such a big, significant difference. When we say that, we are not usurping the power of the father or any of the spiritual leaders in the church or the discipleship that we have. But we are talking about the mother's role today here on Mother's Day, and a mother can have such an impact. And Paul is pointing out this even before we can talk about Timothy's relationship or Timothy's ministry and wanting Timothy on his team. He acknowledges the hard work that his mother and grandmother have put. And he says that faith is living in Timothy now. And we find that even in the society that they live at that time, people had a good word for Timothy. And in spite of all that, we look at some of the odds that Timothy's mother must have faced, and we'll go through them. The first thing is that she's raised him in challenging circumstances. His father was Greek, and it says that his mother was a believer, but his father was Greek. So we can't really conclude whether his father was a believer or not, but he was Greek. And, that could have created an imbalance, and where his mother could have easily given up saying that, And it was such a male-driven society at that time. She could have said, father's not a believer, or father's Greek, and, I can't do that. But she held on to her faith, and we can see that faith coming alive in Timothy. And we see that she raised him for the glory of God, because believers, according to the scripture that we've seen earlier on, the believers spoke well of Timothy. And she raised him for a purpose, because the previous scripture that we read talked about him, being in the order of a disciple. And finally, we see that Paul talks about Timothy's illness. I don't know whether this illness was something that he faced as a child or whether it's something manifested in a later time, because Paul says for his constant illness, tells him to have a bit of wine. And that's a different subject. We can't deal with it today, but he told him to have wine for his stomach, not for his head. So we're not encouraging anyone to drink wine instead of water here. But we find that he had a physical, predisposition, and perhaps this might have been there when he was young, or maybe not. We don't want to add the scripture, but Timothy's mother had all the challenges a mother would face today. But she didn't look at those challenges. She looked at godliness, and she looked at faith, that she lived a life that had reflected on Timothy's life. And this is an encouragement for mothers to be, or mothers who are, and mothers who have their children in the faith, or mothers who might have had their children to go out of that still, whatever you've given your children will be enough to bring them back. And this should serve as an encouragement to mothers. Now, the other thing is, we understand that there's so much of balancing that a woman has to do. It's oftentimes that even as a husband, I think about it, but sometimes even I get caught up with what I'm doing, and sometimes I can forget the type of challenges that my wife or everybody's wife here, faces. And we find that Jesus had so much to say about women as well. And this one highlights everything. When Jesus was on his way to the cross, it was such an emotional journey, and we know that it was going to be a crucifixion, pain, shame. It was a Roman type of torture to death. And here there was women who were crying, and Jesus turns to them and understands that in their weeping and in their sorrow, there's a far more burden that they're carrying. They have their families. And Jesus turns to them and says, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, weep for yourselves and your children." Or we understand when women find it hard to juggle between home and teaching them about God and teaching them and still contributing to the church. So on this Mother's Day, we want to say from all the men here and all the fathers and all the brothers here that we really admire the work that women do with the family, with the church, and still have time to serve God. And we understand that Jesus understood the burden, and we as men can understand that burden too. We see even there were prophets who talked about motherhood, and we see even Paul describes what a mother's nature is. When he's talking about, you know, the church was facing persecution there, and Paul had been with them, and Paul is writing to them again, and Paul uses the analogy of a nursing mother and talks about how exactly he was trying to be that to that congregation that was facing persecution, understanding the depth of what a mother goes through physically to bring up her children. And Paul uses this analogy here and uses a metaphor while he's talking to a church that was facing persecution. So it was not something that the apostles or Jesus just took lightly in a woman's role, and nor do any of us here in the congregation as men take this role as women lightly. And on this Mother's Day, we want to really acknowledge mothers to be mothers who are, and mothers who are trying to bring their family, not only to do the right things, not only to educate them, but to bring them up to serving God and to having this relationship with God. Finally, we left with Jesus' mother. As I mentioned, you know, we don't want to use this word Catholic, but we know we can go on one front really looking at this in its entirety, or go on the other front and just ignore what Jesus' mother does. But one of the things I wanted to bring to everybody's knowledge on this Mother's Day is we find that Jesus' mother lived in a society where adultery was stoning to death. Not only was the shame and pain in that for a woman, the whole family had to carry that. And we see that there's so many times that pops up, and even in when Mary Magdalene is faced with Jesus, they wanted to stone her. And we understand that Mary had this question even when the angel appears to her. She says, I'm a virgin, how is this going to happen? And when she understands that, we see the real, real character of Mary coming out, because she says in Luke chapter 1 verse 38, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. And we find that later on when Jesus is washing his disciples' feet, we know that Jesus was God himself. But we understand that Mary might have played a role in Jesus' life. And we're not adding to scripture here, but this is an encouragement to every mother and every mother-to-be that you have such an impact on your children. That this servant nature that Mary had, that you can model that nature and that will model in your children. And this is an encouragement to every mother today that this is the nature as a Christian that we can carry. And we see that so apparent in Jesus' mother. We understand that Jesus' mother, apart from knowing all this mystery and even asking, saying that, you know, let God to me, she was still human. And we see some of the human struggles here. In Luke chapter 2 verse 19 and Luke chapter 2 verses 51, there were two different situations. The first time the glory comes with the angels, and the angels go back, it says that Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The second time was when Jesus was lost in the temple when he was speaking, and when Mary finally meets Jesus, he says, why have you treated your father and me like that? And Jesus tells her that he has to be about his father's business. And the scripture goes on to say that they really didn't understand that. And then Mary has then pondered in her heart, and she treasured that. Being human. And everyone here in this congregation, we understand that there are weaker human moments for women who are mothers. And sometimes it's hard to balance those human moments when you're trying to serve God. And in the opening slide, when we talked about Hannah's, one of the points there I mentioned was, what do you do when you don't know what to do? That is the best time to trust God. And Hannah did that. And we find from Hannah's state of being barren, she went on to singing a song. And we find that even Mary went on to singing a song here. And before we go back into the scripture, I wanted to... Yeah, this was Mary's song. And if you relate both the songs, there's so many similarities between these two songs that God could take a situation in a mother's life where there was pain, there was sorrow, there was grief. You know, they were traveling. Which mother here was going to be happy to give birth to a son in a manger? And with all that, Mary is then rewarded with joy that she has the song. Hannah's then rewarded. And this is an encouragement for mothers here, Christian mothers and Christian mothers-to-be, that God can turn this sorrow, this pain, this time of not knowing what to do, to a time of joy, that He could have your song too. Coming back to the life of Mary, we see that Mary, even though she carried the Savior of this world, she didn't usurp His power. She always, the very first miracle we find that Mary tells those people around to do what Jesus wanted, to listen to Him. And we find that from the time she delivered Him in a manger till the time of death, Mary was always by His side. In John chapter 19, verse 25 to 27, she's there at the cross. And think how painful it would have been for a mother to raise a child like that, only to see him dying in the graphic way that she's seen. Although she knew he was God's son, but still having carried him, we understand that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor of God and man. It's not that she didn't put in that effort as a human. And finally seeing her son taken from her, the pain and the anguish. And this is an encouragement again for every mother and every mother-to-be, that God understands this pain and anguish. And we find that Jesus looks at this and he finally puts John, one of his beloved disciples, in charge of his mother's care. He gives that opportunity to her, to John. And he sees that his mother's taken care of. God's word and also the Gospels, there's not much mentioned about Joseph after the birth of Jesus, and we don't want to add to that. There are books of history. We don't know how far true that is, but we find that even in the Jewish culture, the male had such a big role to play, and we don't know, because of Jesus being the Son of God and what He did, that so much of emphasis were on Jesus that there was not mentioned something about Joseph. We don't know if he died. We don't know what age he was when they got married, but we know that they had other children. But understanding all that, Jesus takes care of His mother. And I want to ask you a question today, that if Jesus gave His care of His mother to you, what would be our response? And since He's not done that, He's given the care of all mothers and mothers-to-be in the congregation. And we men have a responsibility for that. And we want to embrace that responsibility today. Okay. We know that there's mothers and there's Christian mothers. We don't want to make a big difference between the two. But we understand that Christian mothers understand that it's not just bringing up your son to be a doctor, to be a lawyer or engineer. It's not enough for you to just to get them married and see that but you want to have their whole life, that they have a relationship with God. And we know that there's life beyond this in eternity. And every mother's role as a Christian is beyond just this earth. Although those things are very important, and although that's something that every Christian mother would do and fulfill, there's something beyond that. And these two scriptures from Proverbs kind of reflect that you might have a son who's 7, 27 or 57. His whole life, you being a mother, and you're not only being a physical mother, you're being a spiritual mother too. And we understand that things don't go right. It's such a pain to mothers. And Proverbs talks about this so clearly. And we understand that mothers do go through this battle every day. What's going to happen? Am I doing the right thing? Am I doing enough? And when sometimes it's tempting to look at a mother and think that they've done everything right. But we want to encourage you that in your role, that if you trust God with what you have, be willing to give God sometimes the only thing you have. God will work with you. And we have the hope. We don't live our lives looking at the negative things that kids can go astray. We look at the positive way, that some of the ways mothers of the Old Testament and New Testament have raised children, and we hold on to that hope. There's no end to look at negative things. And there's no end to looking at things and saying that it happened in the Old Testament, it happened in the New. We don't see prophets. We don't hear God's word. We have God's word in its entirety. Maybe Sarah was in the presence of God that he could hear her laugh. Maybe she felt the presence of God that she was finally blessed with a child at an old age. But she didn't know what happened in the book of Revelation. She didn't know what happened at the cross. And today we have God's word in it in its entirety. And mothers, you have that jewel and you have that blessing today. You have that wealth of knowledge today. And we encourage every mother to take that on board. The final thing I wanted to say in terms of what Scripture says about mother, we know the story about Lazarus and his sisters, Mary, Martha. And we know that one sister stayed at the feet of Jesus to listen to him. The other was trying to prepare. Fortunately or unfortunately, mothers go through both these seasons. They've got to be there by the feet of Jesus to understand spiritually what he wants. But they have also the responsibilities of looking after children, from changing diapers to washing uniforms to whatever. Though we men can help to some extent, the responsibility does mom, the mothers take. So they kind of play both the roles together. And I, on the internet, I found this particular, you know, quote. Is it up there? And I thought that this really summarizes the story of Mary and Martha and motherhood. It says, "Mother is she who can take place of all others, but whose place no one else can take." Because she's got to do both these things. And finally, I want to say, mothers, you are a treasure, and we celebrate you here today in the congregation, in the body of Christ. I want to leave you with two things, okay? I know all of you have something to say, and this particularly to all the children of the congregation. Everybody has a story to say of how special their mother is. And as I started, I said I had a lovely relationship with mother. I thank you. I thank God for that, and I thank God for all the relationships you had. But there were often times I thought I would lose my mother physically. I thought the times when she was sick, I would lose her. And that encouraged me to get closer to her and love her and cherish her for what I had. And there was one time that one morning, we used to have a radio, and we used to listen to radio music before we leave to school. And that morning, everything went wrong for me. I spilled coffee on my clothes. I knocked my food down. I forgot to take the book that I was to take. And fortunately, that time we stayed very close to the school, primary school we used to go to. And when I went back to school, I went with the wrong uniform. I sent back home to change my uniform. Those were the good old days when they were so strict, you can't do that now. But all through the way before I left, and as I said, I was hearing the radio. I don't know if anybody have heard, the youngsters may have not heard, there's a song called The Lightning Express. Talked about how this person really went off to finally see his mother who was dying. He tried to hitchhike this ride on the train or the bus. And finally the conductor catches him. And you know, he thinks that he can't. And somebody watching him understands the pain he was going through. So she went through the carriage, made a collection, and she paid his way. And the song goes on to say that every time he heard that, the conductor would be reminded of that. And that was going through my mind all the time I went to school and when I came back. And I didn't know that my mom was going through the same thing, listening to the same song. And when I came back, not only did I hug my mom, my mom hugged me, but what I could feel was two big emotions of all the emotions. My mom's hug showed me that she was so finite and so limited that she couldn't control anything that happened in my life. If I went with the wrong uniform and things turned out bad, she showed me how limited she is. But with the hug, she also showed me how infinite she is, that no matter what happened, that I could come back to the love that she had. And that always inspired me to love her and enjoy the moments with her. And I encourage all you children, don't wait for that moment. That if you have your moms now, that God has put your mothers in your lives. And for those who've lost their mother, we grieve with all of you. And for the mothers who are really doing it hard, that they have to look after children that they didn't bring out biologically, we even, you know, commend you for that. I just want to read you the chorus of that song, Lightning Express, and I've got a poem to finally conclude, and then we are done. I've also got some questions there for the group leaders. I'm just reading the chorus of the song, not the full song. We don't have time for that. It says, "Please, Mr. Conductor, don't put me off this train. The best friend I have in this world, sir, is waiting for me in pain. Expecting to die any moment, sir, and may not live through the day. I want to reach home and kiss mother goodbye before God takes her away." I want to leave you this poem. And when I say only one mother, as I mentioned, that sometimes it's unfortunate that you lose a mother and you have a stepmother. Sometimes there's a foster mother. So we're putting all of them into that one mother category. And I'm reading this poem to you. The title of this poem is Only One Mother. You can have only one mother, patient, kind, and true. No other friend in all this world will be so true to you. For all her love and kindness, she has nothing in return. And if all the world desert you, to mother you can turn. Many fears you've caused her when you were sad or ill. Many, many sleepless nights, though grown, you cause her still. So every time you leave her, or when you come and go, give her a kind word or a kiss. What she craves, I know. You can have only one mother. None can take her place. You can't tell how you'll need her till you meet her loving face. Be careful how you answer her. Choose every word you say. Try never to hurt her feelings. Remember, she's old and gray. You can have only one mother, so take her to your heart. You can't tell how soon the day when you and her must part. Let her know you love her dearly. Cheer and comfort her each day. For you can never get another when she is passed away. Thank you.